गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नोतिभिः सेदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। Let's do some of our meditation. So consider yourself comfortably. Close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. My body's perfectly still and relaxed. And I'm very attentive, aware. When I'm very attentive, I can observe things very clearly. So, if I imagine that I'm in a dream, and in the dream I see something, I see a flower in the dream. Now, when I think back about the dream, yes, I'll say the flower, where was it? The flower was within my own mind. In my own mind, I'm aware of it. So, on one level, the flower is thought. And on a deeper level, the flower is awareness. Every detail of the flower that I perceived or I thought of, I was aware of it. How do I know the thought is there? I'm aware of it. So I first look at this example of the dream. Yes, in the dream, the flower was there. I was aware of it. Every part of the flower that I perceived, conceived, I was aware of. So it's, you could say it's made out of awareness. Without the awareness of the flower, it would have never appeared there. Now, if I were to see a flower in the waking state, I see the flower. So, first of all, we'll say it's perceived. Okay, so it's in the eyesight. But well, where's the eyesight? Isn't the eyesight sitting in the mind? Without the mind behind the eyesight, there wouldn't be any flower perceived. And then without the awareness behind the mind, Also, how could the thought be there? I'm aware of the thought. So I, the impersonal awareness, I, the awareful being, am manaso manaha, the mind of the mind. Also, chakshushaha chakshuhu, the eye of the eye. So the flowers within my awareness, within the impersonal awareness. Can you go and separate any part of the flower, anything to do with the flower from the awareness? You can't because it's within the awareness. I put in, I take thought, I separate. It's out there, I'm here, it's 5 feet away. I'm the one who's observing, that one is observed. That's thought coming in and separating. But directly perceiving, without letting analysis thought get in the way, it's awareness. So, as we were looking at the eye of the eye, it's not just behind. At first, we see I'm the awareness behind the seeing, but then you can see the awareness is in and through the seeing. The cause is in and through the effect. This is why they say that the consciousness, nothing is not made, how do we say, everything is made of consciousness. Within your experience, everything is within the consciousness. The consciousness, the awareness is in and through pervading everything within your experience. Right? Nothing can be separated from the consciousness. Aapyayantu mamangani. Vak pranaschakshu shrotramato balamindriyani cha sarvani sarvam brahma upanishadam maham brahma nirakuryam mama brahma nirakarot anirakaranamastva nirakaranamestu tadatmani nirateya upanishatsu dharmas Te mayi santu, te mayi santu. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. So last week, We finished actually the first section, the first chapter. And the last sense it was talking about was prana. And there, prana, we said in the commentaries, they say it's the sense of smell, not the prana, as it said earlier, prana si pranaha. But we also connected it to the prana. And there is one other point. This actually Satish had asked in the first class, or maybe after the class. There's one thing is, yes, we can say the prana is behind everything. Even when I'm asleep, the prana is keeping everything going. So right here, there are different ways, if you want, in order to get to there's just the one consciousness in the end. That's the whole thing to see beyond these limited ideas that I have. The mind goes and divides things, where really I'm just the one conscious being. So when we're saying here that Shrotrasya Shrotram, the ear of the ear, right? And then we're going further and further back, the consciousness behind it. And then later it said, okay, and this one is the Brahman, meaning this one is not something limited. Then here, of course, we're looking from the individual perspective. What's behind the individual? And then you see it's the same as the totality. So this is what how this Upanishad is looking at it. So you can poke your hole the hole in different ways and then see it. There's different ways that it's pointed out. As long as we can see it shown in one way we see it, then it's the same as in another way that it was shown. So now if I say the prana is behind, okay, prana is the main thing behind, the life force is behind it. Then you say, okay, the life force is behind me, but when I look at the trees around me, then the life force is behind them too. The other people, the other animals, life force is there. So the whole life force behind everything then is the same life forces behind me. This is what we'd see if I see it like this. And then I'll say, okay, but that's living, that's still energy. What about the energy that's behind those things? The sun is emitting energy. We're alive because of that, but the planet is moving because of that energy, right? Planet was created because of that. All the chemical energy, everything happened here because of that energy. So everything is the universal energy. So then you go to, yes, everything is universal energy. So then if I learn to identify with that, expand my vision, then there's the totality, the total energy, the universal prana. But let's say I can expand my attention. I include everything, all the living beings at first. Everything as universal prana, I'm that universal prana. Let's say I can expand to that. Still, okay, there's universal prana, but I'm still awareful being. Otherwise, how could I expand to that? So now I have the whole universe is my body, I'm the conscious, and I'm conscious. Which am I primarily, the universal energy or the consciousness behind it? I'm the awareful being, I'm the one behind it. So actually, when looking at the creation, then seeing the when you're talking about the subtle creation before the physical creation, then we say the universal prana is called Hiranyagarbha, and it can be seen as the universal prana, or it can be seen as the conscious being there. So actually, usually Hiranyagarbha is used for the conscious part. You say universal prana for the dormant part, for the energy part. But still, there'll be the upadhi of prana and the consciousness behind it. As we said the last time, the energy going through everything, whether through living beings or non-living things, then it's very intelligently put together. So that's the prana is rajas, the intelligence is sattva, and that's going to be more subtle. You need that first. And I know I'm a conscious being before living being. So even if you go that way, I'm now the whole world is like my body, my energy body, still I'm the one behind it. Still I am pranasya pranaha. Still I'm the one behind the energy, the one behind the universal mind in this way. So in the end, we have to come to that one like this. This actually interesting. There is a point, subtle point in the next mantra that would even touch on this. I didn't even think of the connection, but there seems to be some connection. So that's just a thought on this one. Even if you go the pranas behind everything, in the end, you have to get to the consciousness because first of all, you're a conscious being. First thing is I am and I know, I'm aware. Then all the other things come in this way. So in any case, that's just connecting some of the questions and things that came up in the classes and from the text. So let's start looking at the next mantra, the beginning of the second chapter here. So here it's saying like this: Yadim manyase suvedeti, dabram evapi, nunam tvam veta brahmano rupam. Yadasya tvam yadasya, sorry, yadasya tvam yadasya deveshu. Atanu mimamsyameva. Te manye viditam. That te should go with the previous part. So breaking sentence-wise, it wasn't the right place, but that's okay. Yadimanyase suvedeti dabhrameva nunam tvam veta brahmano rupam yadasya tvam yadasya deveshvatanu mimamsyameva te manye viditam. If you think I know Brahman well, this is the teacher saying, if you think I know Brahman well, then you know indeed only a finite expression of this Brahman, which is in human beings, and you know only the finite expression of this Brahman, which is in the gods. Therefore, your Brahman has to be indeed ascertained. Then, this last part, the student says, I think that Brahman is known. So, this is this mantra, and it said the first chapter that we concluded, this is Shravanam, for Shravan, for the Shravanam portion of the text, where it's being pointed out, you are the one behind the hearing, behind the seeing, behind the touching, behind the thinking. You're the one behind this, right? There is something behind it. You're the one behind. You're not the seeing. Within your the light of your awareness, of you, the awareness, the seeing is you know, perceived. Within the light of you, the awareness, the thinking comes and goes like this. Now it goes more to the mananam portion. Here the teacher is telling the student to do mananam actually from the beginning of this section. So what happens here is after teaching the first section there, the teacher is teaching in the Upanishads in the text itself, is doing what's a method for helping the student to churn the information. There is something called Sthuna Nikanana Nyaya, methodology of the way the post is put in the ground. Because nowadays you hire somebody to come and do it, you don't even know what they're doing. But if you were to do it, you were to buy a post and some cement, dig, put the cement and the post in, and you're done. But cement is something fairly new. Before there was cement, it didn't work that way. So you dig the hole. You put the post in, you put a batch of stones, and then maybe you pound the post or you churn the post, try to move it around. And then what happens? You put more stones, right? Or you then you keep try to move it. As you move the post, you churn the post or pound on it, it's getting it more and more into place. And then as it gets more and more into place, the stones are getting more pushed into there. So you go back and forth between the pounding and pushing rocks in and churning it like this again and again. So here the same thing is done that the teacher had told the students, or the students here, and then says, okay, now I'm going to churn by asking a question and seeing how the student replies, testing the student and testing, and then this and then poking at the student to see what they think and know like this. Okay. So this is what happens. So now what happens here says, okay, yadimanyase suveda iti. Do you think you know Brahman? And the student may say, yes, I know for yeah. One student will say, you know, you talked about it, but I don't know. I really don't know. If you said that, I'm totally confused. I don't know. It's above my head. The other one will say, yes, I know. I got it, I know. So then the teacher will say, if you think you know very little. Churning like this. There's one thing, when I know something, to know something, the ego has to be involved. I know. Right? I know something. Right? Something is known. That's actually, it's interesting. Later it says, I think Brahman is known. So it's not the ego. The student is at the end. We'll get to that soon, not saying with ego, I know, like this. So in any case, if you remember, we learned earlier, as we studied, we looked into that Brahman can't, isn't of the, there are things that are known and things that are unknown, right? As we said, I know English, but I don't know Portuguese, right? Meaning, I know English, but the Portuguese isn't the unknown, but the unknown can be part of the known. I can go take a Portuguese course and then I can know Portuguese after some time. So it can become the known. So known and unknown, they're within the same category. We looked at this. That, and known, even known can become unknown, right? Because I learned, let's say I learned, you learned a little bit of a language in school, 30 years, 40 years back. You didn't use it at all. Now you don't remember any of it. A few words, but really it's gone. So it was in the known, became the unknown. So like this. So it's in the same category, we said. And we said the consciousness does not fall within these two. It can't. It's the ultimate knower. As ultimate knower, it doesn't fall within known or unknown, like this. So an interesting thing, you know you're that this is the interesting thing. I know I am. I know I am. I know I'm aware, right? But I don't know. But what am I? I think I know. I'm a man or I'm a woman. I'm this old. I'm from this place. Blah blah. But then as we start looking into it, those are just some ideas in the mind. Really, what's the essence of it? I can't put my finger on. So it's kind of stays murky. That's the issue. It stays. Either I just say, yes, I know who I am, who are you telling me that I don't know? I know. I get it. Don't get upset very easily, but you might get it, but you might get me there by poking like this. So the thing is, I have an idea about myself, but when I look further, that idea, what is it? So I leave it murky here. It's looking to not to leave it murky. So the thing is, the moment I think I know Brahman, I think I know. Then that means it's some sort of conceptual idea. I have a conceptual idea of what Brahman is. And that conceptual idea is not Brahman. And if I just hold on to that idea, I'll get stuck. Now I know Brahman very good. I'm done studying Vedanta. I'm going to go do something else now, something else more interesting, because I already know Brahman. But is it? Yeah, I know it's the infinite, it's universal consciousness. Done. Right? Very good. So then it doesn't solve the issue. So that's why here, churning, saying you think you know, but whatever you, if you say I know, then meaning you barely know anything because that can't be the Brahman, right? Or just earlier said, right? Tadeva Brahma Tvam Vidhi, Nedam Yadidim Upasate, in so many verses, that this is that Brahman, the eye of the eye, the mind of the mind. That's the Brahman, the impersonal awareness behind all experiences, the Brahman. When you start looking into it, you can't find a limitation there. Brahman means no limitation, no spatial limitation, no time limitation, and no object limitation like this. You're not limited by this. That's the Brahman. You find something you focus on, that's not the Brahman. Because we take limitations. I take limitation myself. Spatial limitation, I'm only so much, right? I take up this much space. I want to take up a little less space because I want to, right, lose a few pounds, let's say. But I take up so much space, that's it. Or so much space, or the me and mine, I add the mind, my house, my family, like this, I take up that much space. So there's some spatial limitation there I take on myself. That's a limitation. But then I say, but the consciousness, where is it? Which part? You can't put it in a place, right? At first, I see, so I'm here, so I see. But when I'm the one behind the seeing, I'm the one in and through the seeing, where is it? There's no place where it's at. So that conditioning, that limitation has to be broken. Then I take the Brahman, the consciousness, as in time. I was born 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. And lifespan is getting longer. And when I drove to the airport not long before, I saw that they some insurance company wrote there The first person to be live 150 years has already been born, so I say, why not me? I better get call that insurance company then, because I'll live long. So then, time limitation I put on it. But at what time were you not the same awareness, awareful being? At what time? Right? At deep sleep, you're the same one. Dream, same one. You remember anything this life, same one. You go, you remember something, previous lives, whatever, you're the same one. Future lives, same, if you think same one, always same one. So same awareness. Where's the limitation in time? So not that limitation you can't put on it. Third is vastu of object limit. There's desha kala vastu. Vastu, the last one, object, limited to an object. I give it some form, something. I'm this much, this thing. But what object is the consciousness? What is it? It's like saying, what object is the gold? It could be any object. Make it into anything. So you can't limit it as an object, right? Objects are in the space, right? Space isn't an object like that. So in this way, you can't give it a limitation. So it points to that. So the moment I say I know it, then it has to have something that the mind can grasp. And that's the thing, is the mind wants to grasp it. That's what the mind wants to do. I want to hold on to it. I want to have it like an object and put it right here and look at it, right? Examine it. But you can't, right? So this is where it says, no, that can't be. What you're saying then, this can't be. Okay. So this is what happens. Now, what happens is in one of the Upanishads, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, one point there that said, it says, there isn't any other knower other than Brahman. There isn't any other awareness there, awareful being other than Brahman. Because if there, first of all, if you say, yes, I'm Sakshi, I'm aware of the mind, aware of this, but that Sakshi, how do I know it's there? Well, there might be another Sakshi behind it. There's an awareness behind that to show it, that it's there. That's how I know it's there. Okay, very good. But if it's that, you have awareness A, awareness B is behind it. How do you know awareness B is there? Well, awareness A knows awareness B. Come on. It's like A lends to B and B lends to A. One friend says, I don't have any money. Can you lend me $100? Well, I don't have any money either. This. So you lend me and I'll lend it to you, and then we'll be happy like that. Then we'll both have $100. It's like that. It doesn't work. It's called, it's a circular thing doesn't work. And then that's one possibility. One will put the other possibility would be, okay, if there's Atma B behind Atma A, there's Atma C behind Atma B to show that that's there. And how do you know that's there? There's Atma D behind that. So that's infinite regression. It's like the philosopher that says that the earth is supported by a big turtle. What's that supported by? A bigger turtle. What's that supported by? Turtles all the way, like this. It doesn't make sense. So that's why it says, other than Brahman, there isn't something else. And if you think about it, when you get to I'm aware, what else is there there? There isn't anything else there, nothing else behind it. So ultimately, that's what's behind everything, like this, okay? In this way. Okay, so now one point also, which is in learning about anything, which the teacher here is dealing with, and we're in this Upanishads, then it says, okay, when you are teaching something, you tell something to somebody, somebody may understand it. Okay, I got what you're saying, right? I understand. Another person may understand backward, totally the opposite, right? Totally backwards understands. That also happens. Somebody understands something totally different, what you say. This is actually a good thing, where when you ask, you teach something, and when a teacher gives some exam or something, some quiz, the teacher sees some things that, oh, I didn't explain it well, because many people did misunderstood or said the opposite. So the teacher then can know because of that. But in any case, and one person doesn't even understand it all. So when you're teaching anything, it can be like that. So if it's like that for anything you teach, how much more with something subtle? How much more for the subtlest thing we're discussing, how much it can get mixed up? So that's why here the teacher is making sure, if you think you know, Drop the idea I know, because that idea is going to be just an idea. That can't be what it is. Okay. So there's a story that they from one of the Upanishads that points out about how this mistake can be made. And in this, there was the guru, Prajapati was the guru, and two students that came to learn from him. One was Virochana. Okay. Virochana, he is the head of the demons, head of the asuras. Actually, asura is a demon, Rakshasa is demon. Asura is kind of, but material. Asura is really materialist, really like this, because it's one who is attached to all the things of the senses. But we can just leave it here as the head of the gods, head of the demons, and that's it. Head of the gods, Indra also came. The two of them came to study. So after they studied for 32 years in the Gurukulam, this place I'm staying at here, they call Arshavidya Gurukulam, like this, because they're, stay here, learn Vedanta like this. So in any case, so after 32 years, then the teacher gave the final teaching, said that which is reflected in the eye, probably the same as Kana, the eye of the eye, that reflected in the eye, that is what you are. And then what happens is Virochana, then he's an asura, meaning attached to the sense, the objects. That's raga dvesha, likes, dislikes, more materialistic view. Yeah, that which I see the body. I look in the mirror, I see the body, I see. So he says, I'm the body. So he went back and taught all his followers, yes, you're the body. Eat, drink, be merry, enjoy, party, have nice raves, everything you want, because you're the body. That's the Atma. That's it. So in this way, understood incorrectly. In this way. So Indra, who studied, on the other hand, he went. He understood. Okay, that he graduated, finished. But then he didn't totally understand. He said, "Yes, I see there's something there, but I don't clearly see what it is. I don't get it." So he asked the teacher. This teacher said, "Yeah, you have to do more shravanam, do more. You have to study some more." So he stayed in the Gurukulam another 32 years and studied more. Okay. He studied after that time. Again, last teaching was given. And that teaching, I think he said that which is reflected in the dream. Okay, very good. Still, he wasn't good. He had some more idea, but not completely clear on it in this way. Okay, not completely clear. Asked the teacher, said, yes, very good. So study some more. So stayed another 32 years. Then again, so maybe said that which is reflected in the deep sleep. Again, similar idea. Still wasn't certain. Fourth time. After the fourth time, he didn't have a question clear like this. So thing is, when I hear little, I hold on, this is it. Now I got it, then that's the problem. Because something subtle, we really need to look closely into it until it's clear, because it can be, especially with something subtle, we have to be more careful with that in this way. More careful to look into it, okay? So in this way, so actually the interesting thing then is you can't make a concept out of it. Now, what happens is, so a jnani, they say, a jnani, it's not a person. This person is a jnani. This person has self-knowledge. Maybe from our perspective, we'll see the person, we'll say that person must be a jnani, that person must have self-knowledge. So we're going to say like this. From jnani perspective, there's no jnani. If the jnani would be, yes, I know Brahman, then okay, now knows Brahman. Now Brahman is an object for that person. So it's not like that. The jnani just, there's just jnanam. There isn't the jnani like this. Here, Swami Tattvidananji, one thing he pointed out, he said, the jnani, that's impersonal awareness. That's what we are too. Egoless awareness. That's what I say, egoless awareness. We are egoless awareness too. It's just we're not aware of it. The jnani, the difference is the jnani is impersonal awareness because the confusion has been dropped. So it's not that I know, I am the awareness. I am the awareness. Do you know that? What do you mean to know? It's not that you know because then that has to do with mind, has to do with individual, has to do with this. It's I'm the one behind the mind. Now the mind wants to come back and grasp me. How can it do that? Doesn't work. So This is what happens, is it you can't grab it this way. Now what happens then is the student who says, I think I know, I think Brahman might be known, then the teacher's saying, you know very little. You know some little things, some small aspect, meaning you think you might know from some individual experience. If I know from an individual, some individual experience means that it is something that is a manifestation of it. It's kind of like I'm sitting here and you'll tell me about electricity. And then I'll say, yes, I think I know what electricity is. Yeah, what is it? Well, the light up here, that light is the electricity there. He'll say, yes, you understood something, but just a little bit. That's a manifestation of electricity, but just one small thing. I can bring you 10 other different things. They'll do different things because of the electricity. So any experience I have, yes, that is manifestation Brahman. The fact that I can see, I'm a conscious being. So it's a manifestation, but that's not Brahman, just like the light isn't electricity. The electricity is behind the light. The electricity is behind my seeing. And there's the fan. Okay, that's a manifestation, but just like I can hear, I can touch, I can feel, that is manifestation from Brahman, but it's manifestation, it's not the Brahman itself, right? It's reflected through the upadhi. Right, the upadhi is something that if something stays near to something else and the other one seems to impart qualities on it, that's the upadhi. So, you know, I'm going to sit here. Let's pretend that this paper cup is actually a glass cup and it'll look white because it was in front of my shirt, right? Then the shirt was an upadhi. It didn't really, it seemed because of the these two things were close. It seems to impart the whiteness to it, but it doesn't. So the electricity seems to impart the light, but it's not, you know, that's not the, that's a diff, it's the phenomena because of electricity, but you can't limit the electricity to that phenomena because of it. So I see because I'm a conscious being, but that's not the conscious being. I hear because I'm a conscious being. So that's just via the upadhi, not via the actual thing in itself. Okay. So similarly, that's on the individual scale, then on universal scale too. Like we just said, universal prana. Oh, the Brahman manifests as the universal life force. So through in it through everything, I see everything's alive. That must be. Yes, but that you can't say that life is Brahman only, is that's Brahman, that's a manifestation of it. Right? You say all the laws of anything as it functions in the world. Yes, people worship the sun. That's the best deity we can have manifest because the whole world, life, everything comes from this. Great. But still, that is a manifestation of the universal power of the whole, whatever, what's behind the whole universe. It's a manifestation of it. It's not that in itself. So again, that's going to be some small reflect, some reflection in upadhi of Brahma, because everything in the end is going back to that same thing. But it's not that thing in itself. Okay. So that's where saying that, you know, what you know then is not the some form you're thinking of, that's not the form of Brahman. That's some manifestation that is upadhi and upadhi, like this. So then the question would come up, well, I want to experience Brahman directly. I don't want this. I want directly. I want direct act, you know. I want to have the direct, and somebody says, no, I want to speak to the boss. When you call for a customer service, right? Customer support, and they're putting you here, there, you say, can I speak to the supervisor, right? You can maybe, you know, they try to get not to let you, but they'll maybe give you to a supervisor. But that's one tier up. To go way up to the CEO or whatever, you're not going to get to there, right? You know, unless you're there, the CEO's brother-in-law or something, then you're not going to get there. Then you're going to have his or her cell phone number and you call, no problem. But this way, so the question is, well, I want to directly experience it. Well, I don't want to go through these things. Say, well, you can't directly to experience it. You have to go through some upadhi, right? Something, because you can't, because in order It's like I want to see myself. We have a mirror you can do. No, I don't want to see a reflection. I don't want to see myself. I'll take a picture, I'll video, 3D video. No, but that's a video. And you can't. You don't see because because you're the subject, you're not the object. So the absolute subject you can't see. You can see a reflection of yourself, right? And from that, like somebody says, oh, you have a mark. You go and look in the mirror. Oh, there's a mark here. I ate and something spilled or whatever. I didn't notice. So then you can see it in the mirror and you can wipe it, but you don't see it directly, see the reflection. So, same way, without the upadhi, you won't experience anything there. You can't experience yourself directly as an object, right? You can't experience yourself as the object, so you can experience some reflection, some manifestation. So here, the seeing is a manifestation of Brahman, so it helps us to understand what Brahman is, the consciousness behind it, like this. Yes, because of Brahman, because I'm the consciousness, I see. Yes, because of the consciousness, I can speak. It's that also the speak, speech. I'm a conscious being. That's why the whole thing can come out and speak, right? Because I'm a conscious being, I can hear like this. So it shows it, but that's just a reflection. It's not the thing in itself. The thing in itself can't then become grasped. Thing in itself is just is you yourself. It's not that I need to get something. It's that's why we say it's aparoksha anubhuti. It's direct experience. Aparoksha without any. Without any upadhi, without seeing upadhi, hearing upadhi, thinking upadhi, none of these things. But that one then won't be as an object, it's just you. So the other ones will be concepts and perceptions and any other mental categories if you want to use, that I anumana that through inference or through any other type of that you can take inference and break it into different categories like this of ways that we can, infer that something is there, postulate something is there. They're different. The logicians break it into different things, but in the end, inference the mind. None of these things. This is just direct. There's no question about that. I'm there, but I get it confused with other things. That's what happens. Okay. Now, one other thing is one other interesting point about this then. Is that the manifestations will have the attributes of the manifestations, they don't belong to the original. Like, for instance, you say water, right? So then water, you see a wave. You say, okay, there's the water, you point out, no, that's a wave. I just want to see water. Then you say, no, that's a pond. No, that's a cup of water, right? No, that's a whirlpool. No, I want to see just water in itself. To see water in itself, it has to come in some form or you can't see it. So it needs an upadhi, a rupa, some form. Then, okay, I perceive it. So any form that the upadhi will take is not the original, because I'll say, what form does water have? Say any form you want, right? Any form you want, they'll give it to you that way. So the form doesn't belong to the substance. So I see, it shows me I'm aware. I'm a awareful being. But the seeing is like the wave. It's not the awareness is in and through it. The hearing, it's not hearing, but what's in and through it. It's not thinking, but what's in and through it. Not life, I'm alive, but what's in and through it, like this. So that's why these things are like the different forms of the water, that the form isn't the water itself is what is being pointed out. Okay. So this is what happens is, so that's why these aspects that these have are can't be aspects of Atma, the hearing quality, that can't be a quality of Atma, of the consciousness. Because that's of the upadhi. The seeing can't be because that's of the upadhi. Just like the electricity, we gave the example of different things. Those belong to the upadhi, not to the upadheya, the one who is. There's the one, the upadhi, that one which is qualifying, not the qualified, like this. Qualified, I can't. So this is the thing, is to experience, you need some manifestation. Without that, what will you experience? You can't experience yourself any other way in that way. Okay, so this is an interesting point, like that all the qualities, then they'll belong to the upadhis, not to the consciousness itself. This consciousness itself won't have any quality for you to experience it. Okay. Then the other question comes up. Okay, if it's not this, how about if we take all these qualities together and put them together, that's going to be of the Brahman, right? All the conglomerate of it. But then again, you can't do that, because you say, no, it's not, you can't put it with pretty much what we discussed. It'll get negated by this also. You can't put, like, you have a set of jewelry that the long thin part of the necklace and the round part of the ring and whatever other designs are there, you put those together, that doesn't add up to gold. Gold isn't in through them. Those aspects don't add up. So add up all these things, the hearing, seeing, this. You add them all up, you have your idea of yourself. Yes, I'm a person that sees and hears and can walk and can speak and can sometimes, can sometimes think deep thoughts, blah, blah, blah. That's for the individual. It's not the consciousness behind. Similar to the previous issue we had. So then also the other question comes up and says, okay, in that case, there must be qualities. In the Upanishads, it says it's ashabdam, arasam, rupam, avyayam. It's that which does not have sound, hearing, does not have seeing, does not have touch. That which, so these are, those are the aspects of Atma. Okay, that's what the Atma is. So there, these are the qualities. So by those qualities, I can grab it. But the thing is, any quality you give to the consciousness is going to be not a quality, but a negation of something. A shabda meaning no sound, not the hearing. So it's not that. Arupa, not form, not seeing. It's not that. So, and you'll say, okay, it is infinite. What is infinite? Let's say from space-wise, infinite, spaceless, meaning not something limited. It's not an aspect, right? It's like this. It's right, timeless. Well, timeless isn't an attribute. It means not of that category. Any category you give, it's not of that category, not of this. Neti neti, they say, not this, not this. Any category, take anything, you can't put in that box. It won't be there. So this is where some concepts at the beginning we take, yes, there's the, if you want, yes, there's the, I can take the koshas, I'm the one behind the koshas, not the koshas. We don't say what it is, the consciousness, but what do we mean consciousness? We have some idea, but that idea is consciousness, that which is aware of other things and aware of itself. Okay, but then what is to be aware? So we get to that, a few more steps, I don't know. I know I'm aware, I know, and I know that I am. That's as much as we can say. So maybe some concepts are helped just to build a little bit, but then those also we have to drop and not get caught up in those, because those cannot be what's being pointed out. Because just think about it. Am I a concept? Persona, my persona is a bunch of concepts, yes. But I myself, it's not a concept. If it was a concept, I could forget it. It could change, right? My persona changes all the time. It's constantly in flux and flow and changing. But I'm always there, same. So you can't say that it falls into these categories, okay, in this way. So when a statement like Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, like this. Tatvamasi, you are that consciousness. This one, you say Aham Brahmasmi, that's a conception, it's a sentence saying something. It doesn't, but the thing is, what does it mean? I can build some sort of idea. That's why, but aham asmi, I am, this one I have no question about. So that I can look at, right? Because I am, there's no question about that I am. And I am is direct reflection of you, the consciousness within, might be primordial reflection within the mind. The first thing you can think, I am. So that is the direction you can go. Because if you say, I am Brahman and Brahman is this and this and this thing, then it's not breaking, because the idea I am Brahman, to break the idea I'm the persona, not to make an idea what is Brahman. You make an idea, then you get stuck. That's what the teacher is telling the student there. You think you know, meaning you're stuck with some idea. You have to break that idea, we're going to break too. That's not it. Because if it is, then you got to something. And something is not what we're talking about. Okay. So this is what happens. So in this way, the idea is to negate the individual idea of the individual. I'm Brahman, I'm the limitless, spaceless, I the conscious being, and that breaks the whole idea of the individual, then yes, I am. When I'm free, the whole thing is I'm caught up in some I just like here, the idea of Brahman, I have so many ideas about myself. I have so many ideas about the world, and I'm caught up in that, right? The ideas about myself, when I drop them, yes, this, you know, for practical purposes, day-to-day life, yes, I go to the office, yes, I work, yes, I talk, I'm this person, whatever, that we do just as the what needs to be done. But as an identity, it helps to break that identity, because I have a grasp, I'm grasping, I'm something. These ideas just have to be negated, because this isn't what I really am, what I am. A role isn't what you are. A role is some conditional thing because I was employed somewhere, because of some relation, because of whatever it is. But a role is just some temporary thing related to other things, and that role doesn't have a substance. What substance does employee have? When you're employed, it doesn't mean that now you gain 5 pounds, or that, you know, or that you know, you grow two horns or something like this. Nothing. Employee is an idea, right? Any relation with others too. This is my friend. This is a adversary. That's an idea. Doesn't add or take away something from you. So any identity I take on, it's an idea. So the whole inquiry to break those ideas so they don't bind me. Still, somebody causes trouble, you keep a little away from them because you don't have the trouble, fine, as much as you can, right? You know, still I have to go to the office work so I can have money, pay my mortgage or rent, and I can have some food on the table. Okay, that's done, not a problem. But the thing is, those are causing me trouble because I identify with them like this. One thing I heard today from one person talking here today, Swami Dayananji, when he was going to give sannyasa, give initiation as being Swami's monks, as some people, he said, amongst the things he said to them, he said, "Don't think you're going to renounce. Because you renounce, suddenly you're going to travel around the world. Suddenly many people come to class who teach in this. Just because I'm doing that, that's my prarabdha, right? That's my karma. Somehow happened like this. For you, it might not be the same. So don't think that renouncing, you're going to get something like that, right? Because I can have expectation. Oh, for them, like their teachers, their gurus, I'll have that external thing." So here also, this understanding that we're looking at. It's not that I will gain something. Now I'm going to become something. Because the thing is, the whole becoming is the persona. It's just what I am, what is there, regardless of these things. It's to free myself from all that other stuff, because the other stuff is an endless thing. Because let's say somebody like this wants to be like their teacher that travels and teaches them, they'll work hard, they'll get there. Then they're going to see all this traveling, all these people coming, this headache. I want to be in a quieter place, right? Never ends. Whatever the situation is, never ends. As long as we still want identify with it, then it'll bring ups and downs in expectation also. This is to break that. That's the thing. Now, what happens after the teacher had said this? He said, Mimamsyam te. You should inquire further. Do further vichara. Keep looking into it. Because that's what we have to do. Keep looking into it. And as long as there's confusion, doubt, I have to keep looking into it. And what inspired me not long back is some Vedanta teacher that was talking to somebody, some video they had of him. And the student was asking some questions, and he told her, "You're asking very good questions. That's the right direction to ask." He said, "I did the same thing. I questioned and looked into this teachings, kept looking, questioning, questioning. And after 30 years, there are no questions left. Nothing does is clear." So it's very inspiring that through Mananam, he must have had, I don't know who his guru is, he must have had a teacher learned and everything, but he didn't stop taking this and look into churning until no confusion about it. And yes, it took him 30 years, he said, but in this there's not time. We inquire and that's it. Because if I put time into, I will do this long and see and then get to, then I'm putting self as something in time. What I'm is timeless. So you can't put it in time like this. That was an example he gave like this. You don't put in what you are is what you are, you always are. Just we have a little confusion about it like this. So the teacher then says, this is what you have to do. You have to keep looking into it. There's a very interesting thing in the Taittiriya Upanishad. Taittiriya Upanishad has three chapters. One is more preparatory and then two main ones. And second one and third, which they most look into, is the Panchakosha Viveka, comes from there. So in the third, the second teaches all about Panchakosha Viveka. The third goes into it again and gives it where Bhrigu, it's called Bhriguvali. Bhrigu is the son, student. He goes to his father. I think father was Aruni. So he goes and asks him, please tell me about Brahman. He says, you have to vijigyasaswa, I think is what he said. You inquire, look into it. And he comes, says, okay, annam, the body, annam. It comes from food. It's made from food, goes back to food. So that must be Brahman material. Says that's very good, but very good conclusion. You looked into it very nicely, but keep inquiring. Right? He goes, comes back after inquiring, says, oh, it must be prana, because prana is behind, the energy is behind this. So he says, that's very good. You look nicely, but keep looking further. Then after he inquires, he comes back. Must be manaha, mind, because behind an energy of this, I'm a living being, but first I'm thinking, thought, and this so must be, right? Says that's very good. You go inquire further. He inquires, comes back. Okay, I see I'm the intellect, vijnanamaya, because everything is discernment. Everything, any experience, everything is just batch of discernments. I must be the intellect. Says that's you're doing a very good job, but still look further, right? Then next he comes Anandamaya, right? I'm the Ananda. When I drop everything else, all these ideas, I'm Ananda. I speak, experience very nicely when I look into further, like deep sleep. I'm experiencing nicely. Some of the time I don't stay with it, but I can say, says very good, Anandamaya, very good, but look further. Then after that he doesn't come back because sees beyond that, there's nothing more to ask. So here, the nice thing is that he didn't say this, here's Brahman like this. Repeat after me. I'm Brahman, I'm this form, I'm this. I have to do this and then I'll know, and then I'll know Brahman. And he doesn't, so he says, he gives some, maybe gives some pointers, but says, keep inquiring, keep looking into it like this. So here was the teacher saying, yes, look, keep looking into it, keep inquiring. And here then the stu here in this, then the last thing the student is saying, I think it is known, I think Brahman is known. The student went and inquired, did the according to what the Shastra, the Upanishad teaching, according to what his teacher taught, and then using logic looked into and everything. And then after that inquiry, which might have been that 30 years, is that why, or might have been, the time doesn't matter. Then he comes back, says, I think Brahman is known. That's what is said here, which links to the continuation of the saga and the next mantra, which connects to that, which we'll see the next time, but in this way. But the student then did a lot of mananam, looked into it in this way. So this is what happened after the teacher helped to churn like that. Whatever you're holding on to, that still can't be it. Don't think that this is it. Think this is it. Then it's still some small idea, not insignificant idea. If he needs to encourage a little, or she, the teacher needs to encourage a little, we'll say, oh, very good, very good. But you know, keep looking. Or if they want to shake up the student, they'll say that's just some tiny insignificant idea. Look, keep at it, keep looking further like this. That's not it. So in this way, and then student will look into it further. Next week, we'll see when the student looks into it further, then how they're going to be discussing it. Okay. So we'll finish here for today. Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Next week we'll be back to our 7 p.m. Okay, I'll be back in the West Coast. So I'll send an email to remind people. So before we go, any pertinent question might be there. We can spend a few minutes to discuss. Otherwise, we'll finish for now. So one suggestion is, you know, questions that come up, you think about, and then if you email or something, send a message, then can discuss in class, because in class, sometimes you hear the thing, you take some time to think about. And then also I have more time to think about research for answer could be even better, because otherwise some of the time can give some answer, but it doesn't totally cover everything also like that. So just suggestion if you have things like that. Okay. So have a good week. So next week it'll be 7, and also those that come in person, you know, will be back in person as well. So we'll be back to the hybrid from next week. Okay. So I look forward to seeing people in person and in Zoom next week. take
Thank
care.
you. Yeah.